In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Word for Life. My name is Mark Widmer, and I'm joining Pastor Ken Keltner. And thank you for getting up early today. Maybe this is you're filling out your tax forms today. I think this is typically the 15th and the day that we make that pilgrimage. And yep. Hopefully you don't have to write the big checks, I guess. But in any case, we are looking in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, at the seven churches of ancient Asia that are critiqued and talked about by our Lord. And we are currently looking at the sixth of the seven, the city of Philadelphia. Very interesting commentary on that church. There is much said about them, nothing that is blatantly negative with them, and they endured much, and they did it faithfully and well. We are looking last Friday on chapter 7 and 8 and getting into the Lord, how He describes Himself to this church, that He is holy, without blemish of any kind. He is the true one. There's nothing fake in Him. There's nothing that's marginal. He is genuine. He is authentic. And of course, as He describes Himself, there's also the idea that this is what He expects of us as well, to be this kind of person, and our churches to be this kind of church. But Pastor Ken, why don't you take us from here and continue describing this for us?
Well, in these verses, so he's changing a little bit. He is using titles here to describe Himself, but now we see not only who He is, but what He does.
Mm-hmm.
Christ Jesus here is identified as the all-powerful one.
Mm-hmm.
He who has the key of David, He who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens.
Mm-hmm.
It's a phrase that comes actually from the Old Testament, a couple of different places. Isaiah can deal with it, but 2 Kings 18 seems to jump out at me, where Hezekiah's faithful servant, Eliakim, was given the house key to not only Hezekiah's palace, but his treasury. Eliakim then had free access to everything that King Hezekiah owned. And I thought, you know, in the same way, Pastor Mark, Christ is the faithful one,
mm-hmm.
and He has free access to the Father's throne room, and has at His disposal the whole treasury, and which He offers to those of us who actually believe. So, in a fulfilled sense, Christ controls the entrance to David's house, which is really a messianic picture here, which is the right of the Messiah to control and rule in the millennial kingdom for literally 1,000 years there in Jerusalem. And then you'll hear people talk about, well, Jesus is going to rule from the throne of David. Mm-hmm. I know there have been some recently saying, well, no, David is going to come back and rule. No, he's not. No, he's going to come back. We're going to come back with Jesus, and Jesus is going to rule for those 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, on the practical aspect of this church at Philadelphia and in our own lives, let me just say, when God opens a door, no one can shut it.
Mm-hmm.
And when He closes a door, no one can open it.
Hmm.
You know, sometimes, and Pastor Mark, I don't know if you've encountered this, but people will ask, how can I know when God has opened the door?
Mm-hmm.
You worked with teenagers for years as a principal.
Yeah.
I'm sure when you talk to them about, well, what are you going to do after you graduate?
Mm-hmm.
They might have had questions for you. Well, I don't know what door God is opening up for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so
Pray
with me about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I love the, just a little detour from that, but I love Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, right? Acknowledge the Lord, trust Him, don't lean to your own understanding. He will direct your paths. And what does that look like today? an open door, an opportunity here or there, whatever, a leading, and tomorrow and the next day and so forth. And that is a big, big topic.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times you'll hear different answers. I love going back to scripture for the direction. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is great. And a lot of people out there probably know that passage.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is we do lean to our own understanding and we try to figure it out and then we get in trouble. I've been there. I got my hand up on that. But I think maybe the simplest answer to how can I know when God has opened a door is you won't know until you attempt to go through the door.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the door is obvious open, and other times we try to go through a door that's totally shut.
Paul had that in Acts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. I remember specifically a couple of times in our lives, I've always had a passion for missions, and not just here locally, but all over the world. And I told Kathy, I'd taken many teens down to the island of St. Vincent. We just took a group of teens last summer from Brookside here. And I was talking to the pastor and then a fellow who was the president of the Bible College at that time in St. Vincent. And basically I was saying, man, what can I do? I want to come. And the president of the Bible College looked at me and he goes, Ken, stay where you are right now. We need you to just keep supporting us, praying for us. There's not really anything open here for you. I thought, okay. Okay, I'll stay where I am.
Yeah.
Then I remember one Sunday evening back in Colorado, we had a missionary in, Gary Foran. He was a missionary to Brazil. Now, I'm not a great linguistics guy. I mean, Kathy always thought she's going to marry someone and go to Spanish-speaking field. But my Spanish, as you've heard before, Pastor Mark, is more Bubba Spanish. You know, it's como usted, usted, you know. So she was like, oh boy, I married this guy. I don't know. But I'm still open, God, whatever you want me to do. I'll try to do whatever. And that one night, man, I was so moved. I mean, he was basically saying, we need one couple to come and help us. Is there one couple in this church who would come and help us? And then he gave an invitation. And I thought, you know what? I know our pastor knows what my heart is on this. We're going to stay right here. Even though I was moved, man, yes. And many people came forward during that invitation to the point that even our pastor, as he was closing, said, are Ken and Kathy down here?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, man, am I thankful we didn't? No, I'm not putting that kind of pressure. But we got home, and I told Kathy, I said, I want you to know, I asked Gary if I could meet with him anytime this next week. And if I'm able to meet with him, I'm considering this an open door, and we're going to Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, what about the language? I go, God will help me with the language. We're going to Brazil. So Monday being my day off, I normally didn't go into church, but that Monday I did. And sure enough, on my door was a message. Gary cannot meet with you at all this week. I said, Father, you shut the door again. You do not. You want me right here and have that mission heart, but no, stay right here. So I've seen the open doors and I've seen the closed doors.
Yeah.
And sometimes the closed doors, we feel like we want to try to kick them open. And that's, again, leaning to our own understanding, acknowledging our own way, which always gets us in trouble. So open doors and closed doors really are like that, you know, because God rarely shows us the big picture, like long-term in advance. You were hitting on today and tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, God may have us wait for a door of an opportunity to open. That's where you see people get anxious and frustrated, and might even get frustrated with God through that whole process.
Mm-hmm.
But not only what Christ does here in having the key and the right to open the door there in the city of David was mentioned, but Christ promises that he's the sovereign one. And he has all authority then to open doors and to shut doors. It's his job to open doors. It's his job to shut doors. And let me just say that our Lord Jesus is very good at it, and he doesn't really need our help. John writes, beginning in verse 8, I know your work. See, I've set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. So what does it mean an open door has been opened before you and no one can shut it. Some believe that it's a reference to Christ himself, as he says he is the door that, like, he's the door that opens the kingdom, and the believers in Philadelphia then are going to get in through that door. I mean, perhaps it's an allusion back to John chapter 10 when Jesus said, "I am the door." And if you know anything about customs back in Jesus's day, you had shepherds. They were looked down often by people, but these shepherds had what were known as sheepfolds, and they didn't have gates or doors. There was only one opening in the wall through which the sheep passed. At night, when the animals were all gathered into the fold, the shepherd himself would actually lay down across the opening. In other words, the shepherd was literally the door. And this is Jesus' meaning in John 10, verse 9, when he said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a wonderful picture of salvation. But I don't think that that's what he's talking about here in Revelation 3, because in Revelation 3, the door is always open. I believe this door of opportunity is for greater service and ministry. That phrase, open door, it was used by the Apostle Paul on several occasions to describe an opportunity for Christian witness. It's become almost a technical term in Christian circles for this idea. You mentioned Paul there in the book of Acts.
Yeah, and in Colossians 4, that's what he prays for.
Yeah, he prays for that open door. And then there were times that he said, you know, especially to those in Rome, "God has not enabled me to be able to get to you. It's been a closed door."
Yeah.
But when Paul found an opportunity to tell others of God's saving grace in Christ, he took it and he walked right in. He considered it an open door. And friends, as believers in Christ, we should adopt this term. We need to pray for God to open doors for us as individuals and as gospel-preaching churches, that we'd be more effective in delivering the life-saving message of salvation to reach people. And so let's don't just bang away at a closed door getting frustrated while ignoring doors that are open. Let me close with this morning. One of the greatest evangelistic centers in the greater metropolitan Boston area is not a church. It's actually a filling station in Arlington, Massachusetts. It was owned and operated by a man named Bob, who caught the vision of the open door of the gospel early in his life. And thus his vocation, his calling were to be welded together. And as time passed, his station became known as a place to go for gas and for new tires, or if you need car service. It was said that often there would be cars lined up bumper to bumper near two pumps in front of that little station, just waiting to be served by that man. He had no banner out saying, "Jesus saves." He didn't have any flags, any signs, nothing plastered all over the station or in the windows. No sign stating, "Bring your car to Bob and he'll take your soul to Jesus." He simply did his job well. And he did it so well that people knew he was in partnership with the Lord Jesus. And because of that, he led many people to faith in Jesus Christ. Friends, even for this feeble church in Philadelphia, opportunity was knocking. And notice, Jesus will honor what is taking place in this church. Join us to find out what Jesus honors in our next broadcast.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.